What runs your life? If you feel that you have cleaned your energy circuits and are free from the past, and yet you aren't attracting money or miracles or anything else, then you haven't cleaned your energy circuits or gotten free from the past. Now, this happened to me a few years ago. After doing several sessions with Jonathan by phone, I realized that my income wasn't increasing. Oh, my bills were being paid, and money was arriving just in the nick of time to pay them, but it was too close for my comfort. I began to get worried. That's not a good sign. My worry was evidence that I had some unfinished business to clear up. I wanted to contact Jonathan, but he was not available. Then one day, Bill Ferguson offered to give me one of his sessions. Bill is a former divorce attorney who has created a way to help people release the key core issue that sabotages their lives. He's been on Oprah, and he's written several books, including Heal the Hurt That Sabotages Your Life. I was helping Bill with his publicity, and he wanted me to experience what he does. When he said I could have a session with him, I accepted, especially since it was free. Now that I have had it, I would have been willing to pay anything for it. People are starving to learn how to find peace, Bill told me when I went to his Houston suite. But they keep looking outside of themselves and blaming people or circumstances for how they feel. That's not how life works. Bill asked me to think about a recent event that pushed my button. Well, that was a snap. I had just fired a client of mine who didn't agree with my ideas on how to promote his business. I was insulted and angry. Bill said, "Note that how you felt had nothing to do with the other person. All the person did was reactivate your hurt by pushing the right button. Once you disconnect the hurt, your hot button for emotional pain won't be there." Every one of us has a hurt from the past that runs our life, Bill added. For one person, the hurt is failure. For another, it's the hurt of feeling worthless, not good enough, not worth loving, or some other form of not feeling okay with who they are. Bill added that avoiding these feelings creates emotional pain. Bill went on to say, until a person releases the core issue, it will continue to operate. You could be 90 years old and still recreating painful experiences because of a core belief you accepted when you were 6 years old. Although many psychotherapies believe people have unresolved past issues, few claim that they can be healed quickly. Bill developed a new technology that helps people release their emotional pain, and in under 2 hours. You might say he has created a way to achieve push-button healing. Pick another event where you were upset, Bill told me. I did. Again, it was easy. While I hadn't thought about it before, I suddenly began to see a pattern. Almost every time I was upset with someone, it was because I felt insulted. What does it mean that you feel insulted? Bill probed. After a moment, I realized it meant that I didn't feel good enough. I must not be good enough, went my logic, because these people don't like what I am doing, and I end up being insulted. Bill now started to rub my nose in it. How's it feel to not be good enough? He asked. Oh, I was getting depressed. I looked into Bill's boyish face, wondering if he really wanted me to feel this bad. He did. Bill went on to say, until you can fully feel the hurt that's been buried alive inside you, it will continue to operate and sabotage your life. Whew! By now I was feeling like life itself wasn't worth living. Bill went on to say, if you are truly feeling the key issue for you, you should be feeling like life isn't worth living. Oh, I'm there, Bill. I'm there, I said slowly. Well, good, Bill declared. So how's it feel to be not good enough? Like the worst feeling I've ever felt, I said. And Bill asked, can you accept that you really aren't good enough? I struggled with that one. While I could look at my life and clearly find evidence that I was good enough, I had to admit that I wasn't good enough in all areas. And I had to further admit that this belief that I wasn't good enough was unconsciously causing me to be upset with clients and friends. I had been losing many opportunities, even money. "Yes, I can admit it," I finally said to Bill. Something shifted right there. I somehow felt lighter, more relaxed, free. Where before I felt tense and even angry, now I felt relaxed and calm, even happy. It was as if some giant electrical wiring had been disconnected and I suddenly looked at life differently. Bill and I did some additional work before I left, but after the session, I noticed major differences. Nothing seemed to irritate me the way it used to. The next day, I had a client argue about an ad I wrote for him, and this time I didn't fly off the handle. I calmly stated my case, and I noticed that I looked at each moment with love and optimism. And I saw that I wasn't afraid to do things that I used to not do at all, like play the guitar in front of friends or perform magic over dinner. Before, I didn't feel good enough. And I also noticed that money started to roll in. One morning, a few days after my work with Bill, a woman faxed me that she was sending me a check for several thousand dollars to begin promoting her business. What had happened? Now that the core belief was disconnected, I had opened the energy centers in me to allow the abundance of the universe to flow my way. And flow it did. The Science of Getting Rich. In Wayne Dyer's book, Manifest Your Destiny, he says if you aren't manifesting what you want, there probably is an absence of love somewhere in your inner world. That's another way of discovering where you may not be clear inside. Think of how you feel about the people involved in what you want to create. If there is a negative charge or uncomfortable feeling about someone, you aren't clear with that person. Forgiveness is the best way I know for getting clear by yourself. And the best way to become forgiving is to feel gratitude. I'll talk more about gratitude a little later, but for now know that if you focus on what you like about people, you will feel grateful, and then you will begin to forgive, and then you will get clear. And when you get clear, you can have, do, or be whatever you want. Here's one more easy way for you to get clear, and it's something you can do on your own. I learned it from my friend Bob Proctor at one of his famous Science of Getting Rich seminars. Take two sheets of paper out. On the first sheet, describe the negative condition you are in. Describe the picture of the situation as it is now and really feel the emotions associated with it. This probably won't feel great, but you want to get into that feeling because the more you feel it, the more you will release it. In other words, whatever emotion you suppress will sooner or later need to be expressed. While it's suppressed, it's clogging up your inner vibration. Release it, and you free your energy to go out and attract what you want. Let your feelings come to the surface as you describe the situation or condition that you don't want. Do that now. Now put that first sheet aside. Take the second sheet of paper and begin to write out how you want the situation or condition to be. Get into the joyful feeling associated with having or doing or being the thing you desire. Really immerse yourself in this good energy. Describe the situation the way you want it to be and paint this wonderful picture so completely that you can feel it as you write it. Just as you wanted to experience the negative emotion so you could release it, you now want to experience the positive emotion so you can create a new picture to anchor in your subconscious mind. The more you can fall in love with this new image and these new feelings, the faster you will manifest them. Now take the first sheet, look it over, and burn it. Take the second sheet, fold it up, and carry it with you for a week. You're done. You probably just cleared yourself of your negative block. And if it should ever resurface, just do the exercise again. See? It's easy. Patterns. Have you ever noticed a reoccurring theme in someone's life? Maybe even yours. It's the same issue again and again. Maybe with different characters playing it out, but it's always the same problem at heart. Why is it always the same problem? For example, for most of my life, I had problems with money. I was homeless for a while, lived in poverty for years, declared bankruptcy once, went to court and was fined for bad checks I had written, was constantly in debt and always desperate for money. I had that same problem for most of my adult life. Beliefs like these fueled it, though I was unconscious of them at the time. I don't deserve money. Money is bad. Money is not spiritual. Rich people are greedy. I'll never succeed. I'm not good enough. Business is bad. There's not enough. And so on. So the life pattern of having money problems surfaced again and again with my car breaking down, accidents, illness, and unforeseen emergencies. I had the same problem with losing weight. I spent most of my life, from childhood on, fighting obesity. The operating beliefs behind that reoccurring problem, and again, most of which were unconscious to me, were: diets don't work. I hate exercise. Healthy foods taste like crap. My DNA is wrong. I'm destined to be fat. Fat people are safe. Fat people are happier. Nobody likes me anyway. And so forth. I had the best of good intentions for wanting to be healthy and wealthy, but the unconscious counter-intentions stopped them from being manifested. And that pattern continued until I unraveled the beliefs and broke free. This is true for all of us, even you. If you look at your life with an objective eye, knowing that it is not fully possible, but go with me on this, you'll see patterns. Maybe it's always a relationship issue, or health issue, or money issue, or work issue, or you name it. For example, I discovered a pattern in myself that I had been unaware of until last weekend. Three people I know, or thought I knew, one of whom has been a dear family friend for over a decade, came out with a book slamming the movie The Secret with me in it, and none of them shared the book with me or even told me when it came out. I had to stumble upon it 6 months after the fact. I was more upset that none of these friends had the decency to share their project with me than that they wrote the book. I was sick for several days. I was literally ill. I had a fever, weakness, aching joints, and coughing fits. Why? Every time something happens, there is meaning behind it. When you stop and reflect, you can decode the operating beliefs that brought it about. In my case, I caught a bug, and that bug was named betrayal. As I looked back, I saw that betrayal had been a pattern in my life, just as money issues and obesity once were. Because of hidden operating beliefs, the pattern came into reality one more time. When you get to the end of this recording, you'll know the nightmarish betrayal I went through with Jonathan. I'm no stranger to it. Obviously, I had attracted my experience. But this isn't about betrayal. It's about patterns, your patterns, and mine. But here's the good news. Once you learn the lesson from the pattern, you no longer need the pattern. You can actually stop the patterns. I've done it with money. I've learned that the more money I make, the more I can help myself and my world. whether it's a Panos exotic sports car or a $15,000 therapy machine for a child I don't know, I'm now able to make the choice and write the check. It's a beautiful place to be. I've done it with obesity. I've lost 80 pounds and been in 7 fitness contests. The obesity pattern is history too. Now that I'm aware of the old betrayal pattern, I can let it go as well. Sometimes all you need is the awareness that you attracted what you got due to your beliefs. Sometimes you have to sit down and consciously search and find your beliefs, and then choose to let them go as you insert new ones in their place. And sometimes you have to hire a miracles coach to help you climb out of the mental quicksand. The point, again, is that you and I are co-creating our reality with our beliefs. If you've got a reoccurring pattern in your life, it's not your fault, and it's not anyone else's fault. It's simply mental software. It's a program. You can rewrite it. That's how you begin new, healthier, happier patterns. And you can begin it right now. The work. Byron Katie, author of Loving What Is, has a remarkable clearing method called the work. It's basically a simple questioning process. You take a statement that is bothering you and work on it. For example, the statement, my boss infuriates me, which could be my spouse infuriates me, or my neighbors infuriate me, or that blogger infuriates me, could be the statement you focus on. It could also be, not attracting what I want makes me frustrated. So take one of those statements and then ask the following questions. Is it true? Can you absolutely know that it's true? How do you react when you believe that thought? Who would you be without that thought? There's a bonus technique to do after you answer those questions, too. You take the original troublesome statement, say it was, my boss infuriates me, and you turn it around to be more personal, such as, I infuriate me. Now note how that feels. This procedure is a powerful way for exploring what troubles you. At heart, they are just thoughts. There are many books and audios by and about Byron. A good place to start is www.thework.com. While in Canada, I picked up a copy of her book, Question Your Thinking, Change the World. It's a collection of quotes from Byron. Here's one. There's no suffering in the world. There's only a story that would lead you to believe it. There's no suffering in the world that's real. Chew on that, and then use her process on something that is bothering you to help you get clear about it. The mustard seed. Years ago, I gave a talk about spirituality at a business conference. At one point, I told the audience that I carry a souvenir coin with a mustard seed in it. The coin has a saying engraved on it reading, "If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, nothing shall be impossible for you." I then asked the crowd, "Have you ever thought about a mustard seed?" I paused and then added, "A mustard seed has no doubts. It doesn't second-guess its goal. It doesn't worry, wander, or fret. It is clear. This is the essence of this step in the attractor factor. You want to be clear within yourself, no doubts, so you can attract the very thing you say you want." As Ernest Holmes wrote in Creative Mind and Success, "You can attract only that which you first mentally become and feel yourself to be in reality without any doubting." But how do you get clear? Karmic surgery. Dr. Marcus Gitterly is an emergency room physician and anti-aging specialist. We met after he read one of my books, loved it, and emailed me saying he lived in the same small town I do. We had lunch and became quick friends. One day, he told me about a way to do karmic surgery. Now, this was news to me and made me aware of a new tool that was almost magical. It could help you release any troubling problem or heal any condition or achieve any intention and do it without your doing anything. In fact, others did it for you. Mark explained it like this. Just as you have a problem and go into the surgery, the problem is taken out while you are asleep. When you awaken, the problem is no longer there. You might be told to rest more, to drink more fluids, but in essence, you are now free of the problem. All you did was agree to let others remove it for you. What Mark is talking about are yogiyas or yognas. These are known in the East and little known in the West. They are not surgery, but instead a way to have spiritual masters perform rituals on your behalf with the intent to achieve your intention. I know this may sound strange, but yogiyas have a long history. A yogiya is a religious or spiritual ceremony performed by a Hindu priest in order to alleviate karmic difficulties. Basically, a yogiya is the chanting of specific Vedic mantras, sounds, by professionally trained and dedicated Vedic pandits. This is generally the most preferred method to dissolve a crisis situation or a dangerous, life-threatening one. But you can also use yogiyas to get clear, so you can have, do, or be whatever you want. Rather than continue trying to explain what a yogiya is, let me instead give you a testimonial on how one influenced my best friend. Saved from death. My best friend of 2 decades was on her deathbed a year ago. After being in a near-fatal car accident, having both knees replaced, her back broken, suffering from depression, then becoming suicidal and anorexic, due to medication she never should have accepted, she was taken by ambulance to the hospital, where she lay unconscious and dying. We had already tried everything. She had gone to healers, doctors, therapists, and psychiatrists. I hired home health care for her. She prayed, meditated, listened to tapes. I asked 500 friends of mine to pray for her and send her healing energy. Nothing was breaking her free. I feared I would lose my best friend of 25 years. In desperation, I arranged for a 2-month-long yogiya to be done for her. Within 2 days, she woke up in the hospital, sat up, and stood up. The day before, she could not move or even turn over in bed. Now she was ready to go home. The hospital was stunned. The doctors couldn't explain it. They kept her for further testing and observation. But she just got better and better. A week later, the same woman who was near dead was released from the hospital. She is now walking, talking, smiling, driving, and very glad to be alive. I saw her yesterday. I thought I might never see her again. This is a genuine miracle. And that's the power of a yogiya. Some people argue that a yogna uses the placebo effect to help you get better. The placebo works because you believe it will work. That's interesting in itself, as it proves belief is powerful. But in this example, my friend in the hospital didn't know I had arranged a yogna for her. It was impossible for her to benefit from a placebo effect because she had no idea anything was happening. Another example is when my father was ill with prostate problems. He had gone to several doctors, but the result was the same. He was bleeding and he was in pain. I finally arranged for a yogna to be performed for him. Keep in mind, my father had no idea this was being done. He's an old-school ex-Marine and not very open-minded about alternative methods of healing. So this healing was done in stealth mode. Yet a month or so later, he said he didn't have prostate problems anymore. That was more than 2 years ago, and he's still fine today. Publishing miracle. Dr. Gitterly does yogyas for himself, wife, and son. I have done them several times for myself. Let me give you an example. As you know by now, this recording you are listening to is based on a popular little work I released a few years ago called Spiritual Marketing. I knew the book contained a powerful 5-step process for manifesting your heart's desires, and I knew it from all the people who emailed me every day telling me their miraculous stories. What frustrated me was the fact that the book was basically available only online. I knew that it needed to reach a wider audience. So I set the intention to find a strong publisher with distribution abilities and the power to get my book out there into the world. To help make that intention happen more quickly, I arranged for a yogya. I went to www.jyotish-yagya.com and asked for a yogya to be done on my behalf. I didn't know how this would work or if it would work, but I trusted. I took action. Within a few weeks, I received an email from the senior editor at J. Wiley Publishers in New Jersey, who is now the publisher of my book, The Attractor Factor. Now stop and think about this. My original book, titled Spiritual Marketing, had been a number one bestseller at Amazon twice. Its success had been written about in the New York Times. The ebook version of the book had been downloaded an estimated 1 million times. The ebook had been translated into 7 languages. Thousands of people wrote me about it. The best agent in the country shipped the book to major publishers for 2 years. Yet, nothing. Nothing ever happened to bring the book to a global audience until I arranged for a yogya to be performed to help my intention and to clear me of any inner blocks preventing my goal from manifesting. This is karmic surgery. A yogya is a way to clear you of any current blocks, whether those blocks are from this lifetime or another, so you can go on to attract what you want. Talk about effortless healing. I love you. I'd be doing you a disservice if I didn't tell you the following story. It's a short version of what is in my book, Zero Limits. Since this is so powerful, I have to include it for you. A few years ago, I heard about a therapist in Hawaii who cured a complete ward of criminally insane patients without ever seeing any of them. The psychologist would study an inmate's chart and then look within himself to see how he created that person's illness. As he improved himself, the patient improved. When I first heard this story, I thought it was an urban legend. How could anyone heal anyone else by healing himself? How could even the best self-improvement master cure the criminally insane? It didn't make any sense. It wasn't logical. So I dismissed the story. However, I heard it again a year later. I heard that the therapist had used a Hawaiian healing process called Ho'oponopono. I had never heard of it, yet I couldn't let it leave my mind. If the story was at all true, I had to know more. I had always understood total responsibility to mean that I am responsible for what I think and do. Beyond that, it's out of my hands. I think that most people think of total responsibility that way. We're responsible for what we do, not what anyone else does. The Hawaiian therapist who healed those mentally ill people would teach me an advanced new perspective about total responsibility. His name is Dr. E. Haleakala Hu Len. We probably spent an hour talking on our first phone call. I asked him to tell me the complete story of his work as a therapist. He explained that he worked at Hawaii State Hospital for 4 years. That ward, where they kept the criminally insane, was dangerous. Psychologists quit on a monthly basis. The staff called in sick or simply quit. People would walk through that ward with their backs against the wall, afraid of being attacked by patients. It was not a pleasant place to live, work, or visit. Dr. Len told me that he never saw patients. He agreed to have an office and to review their files. While he looked at those files, he would work on himself. As he worked on himself, patients began to heal. He once told me, after a few months, patients that had to be shackled were being allowed to walk freely. Others who had to be heavily medicated were getting off their medications, and those who had no chance of ever being released were being freed. I was in awe. Not only that, he went on to tell me, but the staff began to enjoy coming to work. Absenteeism and turnover disappeared. We ended up with more staff than we needed because patients were being released and all the staff was showing up to work. Today, that ward is closed. This is where I had to ask the million-dollar question. What were you doing within yourself that caused those people to change? Dr. Hulen said, I was simply healing the part of me that created them. I didn't understand. Dr. Len explained that total responsibility for your life means that everything in your life, simply because it is in your life, is your responsibility. In a literal sense, the entire world is your creation. Whew, this is tough to swallow. Being responsible for what I say or do is one thing. Being responsible for what everyone in my life says or does is quite another. Yet, the truth is this. If you take complete responsibility for your life, then everything you see, hear, taste, touch, or in any way experience is your responsibility because it is in your life. This means that terrorist activity, the president, the economy, anything you experience and don't like is up for you to heal. They don't exist, in a manner of speaking, except as projections from inside you. The problem isn't with them, it's with you. And to change them, you have to change you. I know this is tough to grasp, let alone accept or actually live. Blame is far easier than total responsibility. But as I spoke with Dr. Len, I began to realize that healing for him and in self-identity, Ho'oponopono, means loving yourself. If you want to improve your life, you have to heal your life. If you want to cure anyone, even a mentally ill criminal, you do it by healing you. I asked Dr. Len how he went about healing himself. What was he doing exactly when he looked at those patients' files? I just kept saying, I'm sorry, and I love you, over and over again, he explained. That's it? That's it. Turns out that loving yourself is the greatest way to improve yourself, and as you improve yourself, you improve your world. Let me give you a quick example of how this works. One day, someone sent me an email that upset me. In the past, I would have handled it by working on my emotional hot buttons or by trying to reason with the person who sent the nasty message. This time, I decided to try Dr. Len's method. I kept silently saying, I'm sorry, and I love you. I didn't say it to anyone in particular. I was simply evoking the spirit of love to heal within me what was creating the outer circumstance. Within an hour, I got an email from the same person. He apologized for his previous message. Keep in mind that I didn't take any outward action to get that apology. I didn't even write him back. Yet by saying, I love you, I somehow healed within me what was creating him. I later attended a workshop run by Dr. Len. He's now 70 years old, considered a grandfatherly shaman, and is somewhat reclusive. He praised my books, including the early edition of this very recording, The Attractor Factor. He told me that as I improve myself, my book's vibration will rise, and everyone will feel it when they read it. In short, as I improve, my readers will improve. I asked, what about the books that are already sold and already out there? They aren't out there, he explained, once again blowing my mind with his mystic wisdom. They are still in you. In short, there is no out there. It would take a whole book to explain this advanced technique with the depth it deserves, and that's why I wrote Zero Limits. The script. Finally, let me give you one more method for clearing yourself. This one doesn't cost any money, doesn't take more than a minute to do, doesn't hurt at all, and is guaranteed to work every time. Interested? The method involves a simple script that you say out loud to release a belief or a feeling you no longer want and to replace it with something you prefer. I learned it from my friend Carol Truman, author of the truly amazing book, Feelings Buried Alive Never Die. I'll give you the script in a moment. First, understand that this powerful tool is so simple it's easy to dismiss. All you're asked to do is say a couple paragraphs of words. That's it. Yet what the script does is reprogram your basic DNA structure. It speaks to your spirit and asks it to help you get clear on the most fundamental levels of your own being. Now, I don't want to complicate things here by trying to explain how this process works. My job is to give you the tools and show you how to use them. After all, you don't need to know how a fax machine works in order to send or receive a fax. All you do is insert the paper and it does the rest. The script is the same way. All you do is say it, inserting in the appropriate place what you are feeling at the time that you want to get clear, and inserting in the appropriate place what you prefer to feel. Now, this will make more sense once you know the words in the script. So here they are. Spirit, please locate the origin of my feeling, thought, of feeling negative about. Insert the feeling or belief you want to release here. Take each and every level, layer, area, and aspect of my being to this origin. Analyze and resolve it perfectly with God's truth. Come forward in time, healing every incident based upon the foundation of the first, according to God's will. Until I'm at the present, filled with light and truth, God's peace and love, forgiveness of myself for my incorrect perceptions, forgiveness of every person, place, circumstance, and event which contributed to this feeling, thought. With total forgiveness and unconditional love, I delete the old from my DNA, release it, and let it go now. I feel, insert the way you want to feel. I allow every physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual problem and inappropriate behavior based on the old feelings to quickly disappear. Thank you, Spirit, for coming to my aid and helping me attain the full measure of my creation. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I love you and praise God from whom all blessings flow. Simple, isn't it? Now, if you don't believe the script will work for you, use the script on that belief. In other words, insert, help me release my doubt about the power of this script in the first open spot in the script. That's where you insert the belief or feeling you desire releasing. In the second spot in the script, insert the belief you prefer, which might be, I now understand that any belief can be changed in just a moment, even with such a simple tool as this script. Now, just before recording this book, Carol told me that she had a new and improved version of the script. She said this was even more powerful than the previous one. Here it is. Spirit, superconscious, please locate the origin of my feelings, thoughts of, fill in the blank. Take each and every level, layer, area, and aspect of my being to this origin. Analyze and resolve it perfectly with God's truth. Come through all generations of time and eternity, healing every incident and its appendages based on the origin. Please do it according to God's will until I'm at the present, filled with light and truth, God's peace and love, forgiveness of myself for my incorrect perceptions, forgiveness of every person, place, circumstance, and event which contributed to these feelings, thoughts. With total forgiveness and unconditional love, I allow every physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual problem and inappropriate behavior based on the negative origin recorded in my DNA to transform. I choose being, fill in the blank. I feel, fill in the blank. I am, fill in the blank. Basically, use the same appropriate positive feelings for each blank line to replace the negative feelings. It is done. It is healed. It is accomplished now. Thank you, Spirit, for coming to my aid and helping me attain the full measure of my creation. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I love you and praise God from whom all blessings flow. Again, either script is powerful. Read Carol's wonderful book for a detailed explanation of it. The book is called Feelings Buried Alive Never Die. Meanwhile, use the script whenever you feel the need to get clear. It works almost like magic. And once you are clear, you can truly attract virtually anything you can imagine. Isn't this a fun, exciting, and even exhilarating way to live? Step 4. Nevilleize your goal. One of my favorite spiritual teachers is Neville Goddard. He wrote such classics as Out of This World and The Law and the Promise. He was a charming character who seemed to have access to a world most of us don't see. He taught people how to use their imaginal mind, add feeling, and create results. He once said in a lecture, I urge you to use your imagination lovingly on behalf of everyone and believe in the reality of your imaginal acts. If you have a friend who would like to be gainfully employed, listen carefully until you hear his voice tell you of his new position. Feel his hand clasp yours. See the smile on his lips. Use every sense you can possibly bring to bear into the imaginal scene. Persist until you feel the thrill of reality. Then drop it and let that scene fulfill itself on the outside. You may have noticed that Neville didn't say just focus on the image of your friend getting a job. He also advised you to hear your friend's voice and to feel your friend touch you and to feel the thrill of reality of the scene having taken place. Neville's great contribution to the science of attracting your own reality was the idea that you must first feel the thing you want as if you already had it. I call this Nevilleizing your goal. In one old book I have by Neville, he signed it with the phrase, assume the feeling of the wish fulfilled. That's the key. That's the secret. You have to learn how to nevilleize your goal by assuming the feeling of the wish fulfilled. How? Begin right now by answering the question, what do I want to have, do, or be? Now, get into the feeling of having already accomplished it. In other words, if your goal is to make $200,000 in sales this year, what does that feel like when you consider already having achieved it? You assume the feeling of that intention already fulfilled. What Neville was suggesting is that you must feel whatever it is you want to attract. You might see it in your mind, but until you feel it as already complete, you will be missing a key step in the attraction process. This is a step missing from virtually all self-help books. This is the step missing in most hypnosis, visualization, and other mind-expanding programs. This is step 4 in the attractor factor. The real reason the Titanic sank. I've repeatedly used Neville's method in my own life to help me on the Larry King television show, to help me prepare for a presentation where I spoke after Tony Robbins and before Donald Trump, to help me write books like The Key, and to record audios like the one you're listening to right now. Before I explain the method to you in detail, let me offer a small slice from Neville on how powerful scripting your future with feeling can be. Here's a quote from him. 14 years before the frightful sinking of the Titanic, an Englishman by the name of Walter Lord wrote a book entitled A Night to Remember. In it, he conceived the fabulous Atlantic Ocean liner called the Futility. She was 800 feet long, triple screw, and carried 3,000 passengers. Believed to be unsinkable, the liner carried only a few lifeboats. Then one night, Mr. Lord filled her to the brim with the rich and complacent and sunk her on an iceberg in the Atlantic. The Titanic was built by the White Star Line. She was 800 feet long, triple screw, and capable of carrying 3,000 passengers. Because she was believed to be unsinkable, her lifeboats were few. Completed 14 years after the fictitious Futility was imagined, the Titanic sailed out of Southampton on her maiden voyage, filled to capacity with the wealth of Europe. 5 days later, this glorious ship struck an iceberg and sank on a cold April night. Neville goes on to point out that the work of fiction may in fact have created the disaster. The novel scripted the event. Neville goes on to say the following. I do not know the motive behind Mr. Lord's book, but I do know that the identical ship was built 14 years later and that it carried the same kind of a passenger list and went down in the same manner as the fictional ship. I tell you, there is no fiction. Tomorrow's world is today's fiction. Just as today's world is the fiction of yesteryear. One man dreamed of talking to someone across space using only a wire, another of hearing music being played across the land in their own living room, another desired light without the use of a candle. These desires have all come true, but when they were first conceived, they were all fictional, all unreal products of the imagination. This may seem preposterous or actually insane at first glance. How can a novel written 14 years earlier create a disaster in real life? But Neville is revealing the power of a focused mind. When you write something filled with passion and you script out all the details so it appears to have actually happened, then you are programming it to happen. Neville goes on to say the following. Stop reflecting life around you and begin to select the thoughts you choose to plant in your wonderful mind and imagination. Single out that aspect of reality to which you want to respond, be it success, health, dignity, or nobility. Make it something wonderful where you contribute to the good of society, the community, and the world. Feel the thrill of witnessing these from within, and you have planted your seed. You need not labor to produce your seeds, for they are already finished, waiting for you to encounter them in your community. Plant your seeds and let others think they are bringing them into being. Emotion has power. Marketing specialists know that people don't act for logical reasons, but for emotional ones. Emotion has power. Emotion also has the power to create what you want. Find within yourself what it will feel like to have, be, or do the thing you want, and you will begin to manifest the thing you want. The energy in the emotion will work to pull you toward the thing you want while also pulling the thing you want toward you. I know, I'm getting philosophical again. But I'm talking about spiritual concepts, which few people can relate to. It's easy to see why. We are taught from the crib to pay attention to reality, to obey the laws of man, to worship books and leaders. While that can help our society run smoother, actually it hasn't worked, but that's another book and another recording, it limits you. Belief in leaders, rules, and outside authorities limits you from creating the life you want. I once told a friend that a belief in a guru can limit her own power to manifest what she wanted. You'll see how this was true for me when you hear the shocking later section on the shocking true story of Jonathan. When you give your power away to anyone, you are spending your own energy in their direction. If you want to attract wealth and anything else, you need to own your own power. You need to own your own energy. You can ask everyone what they think about any of your goals, but in the end, you have to decide. You are the best authority on you. As my friend Mandy Evans often asked, after you read all the books and hear all the lectures, how do you know what to do for you? In short, you have to own your own energy and decide for yourself. This energy is a key ingredient in the attractor factor. A powerful energy. One of the most powerful energies you can ever experience is gratitude. Feel gratefulness for anything, and you shift the way you feel. Feel thankful for your life, your lungs, your home, this recording. It doesn't matter. Once you feel grateful, you are in an energy that can create miracles. Jonathan taught me this. I remember going to see him when I was broke and depressed. One of the first things he did was guide me into realizing that I had plenty in my life. When you compare your own life to that of people living in third world countries, you quickly see that you are living like a king or queen. You probably have food, water, and shelter, as well as a refrigerator, a television, a radio, and probably a computer. Millions of people don't. Realize you are blessed with enormous abundance right now. Feel grateful for it, and you will attract even more abundance. Curing illness. My friend Jonathan Morningstar, a completely different Jonathan, once cured himself of a terrible illness with a simple one-line statement of gratitude. Jonathan got double pneumonia. Nothing seemed to help him. Then he felt inspired to write down one simple but potent sentence that he repeated every hour, recorded on audio tape and played back to himself, and wrote on signs that he hung around his home. He made this one-liner part of his very being. And within 24 hours, Jonathan was healed. What was the one line he used? Thank you, God, for all the blessings I have and for all the blessings I am receiving. Now, I'm not a scientist, so I won't pretend to explain how this works. Somehow, your energy sends off signals that attract more of what you are sending off. Change your signals, and you will change your results. Change your energy, and you will change what you experience. The energy you give out is the results you get. That's the attractor factor. Again, gratitude can shift everything. Just start feeling sincerely grateful for what you have. Look at your hands. or this recording, or your pet, anything you feel love and gratitude for. Dwell on that feeling. That's the energy that can help you manifest whatever you want. Imagine the outcome. Another energy you want to experience is the energy that comes from imagining what it will feel like to have, be, or do the thing you want. Now, this can be fun. Imagine how good it will be to have what you want, to be what you are wanting, to do what you dream. Feel the electrifying feelings that come with the images. These feelings can create the life you want. They can manifest it for you. Somehow, those feelings lead you, guide you, direct you to the things that will make the events. The great German thinker Goethe may have said it best when he wrote the following inspiring message. Until one is committed, there is hesitancy, the chance to draw back, always ineffectiveness. Concerning all acts of initiative, there is one elementary truth, the ignorance of which kills countless ideas and endless plans. That the moment one definitely commits oneself, then providence moves too. All sorts of things occur to help one that would never otherwise have occurred. A whole stream of events issues from the decision, raising in one's favor all manner of unforeseen incidents and meetings and material assistance which no man could have dreamed would come his way. Whatever you can do or dream you can, begin it. Boldness has genius, power, and magic in it. The camera. I was in Seattle once to see friends. One night, I turned on the television and caught the ending of a fascinating Larry King interview with the famous actor and singer Andy Griffith. Andy was talking about one of his first motion pictures. He said something unknowingly relevant to the attractor factor process when he talked about a director who told him, "The camera is just a machine. It picks up what you give it. All you have to do is think something and feel it, and the camera will record it." They then cut to a scene from the movie Griffith was referring to when he was to look at a woman with a heart full of lust. You can tell from the actor's eyes that he was projecting thoughts that were pretty hot. Larry King later said it was one of the most X-rated looks in movie history. Well, the universe is like the movie camera. Think something and feel something, and the universe will pick it up and project it. The advice Andy Griffith was given as a young actor is advice I want to give to you. When you know what you want, all you really have to do is think it and feel it. That's it. The universe, the spirit of all that exists, will pick up your signal and project it. Catching fire. This is powerful stuff. When Jonathan Jacobs and I practiced this, our energy levels shot skyward. We had so much energy surging through us that the very electrical outlets in our homes burst into flames. This is the truth. When I lived in the dump I could barely afford to pay rent for, the electrical system there fried. It cost the landlord over $7,000 to repair it. When Jonathan was first experimenting with energy, the fuse box in his garage caught on fire. Although this isn't why they call me Mr. Fire, it does demonstrate that when you make changes internally, you'll see changes externally. Jonathan had to have a new fuse box put in. My landlord replaced the entire electrical system in the house. But as my energy increased, I also had to move into a bigger home with better wiring. Again, what you embrace in your inner world creates what you experience in your outer reality. Your inner becomes outer. Jonathan and I were having lunch at a favorite Chinese restaurant one day when I noticed there was hardly anyone in the place. The owners looked worried. They were huddled around their cash register and talking. Usually, they came over to us, smiled, talked, and treated us like royalty. It was clear something was wrong. I mentioned this to Jonathan, saying they seemed concerned about money. Jonathan replied, "That's why they're concerned." Well, at first, my mind screeched to a halt, but then I started laughing. Jonathan asked me what was so funny. I explained as best I could. "Were you a Zen master in a past life or something?" I began. "What you just said was one of those unanswerable mind stretchers that Zen masters come up with." "What do you mean?" Jonathan asked. "I said those people look worried about money, and you said that's why they're worried about money. To the outside world, that makes no sense." "But it's the truth," Jonathan explained. "Their concern for money was something already in them that got manifested. Now they notice it in the outer world. They manifested their belief." Jonathan then went on to tell me about a man he had worked with who ran an Indian restaurant and was failing at it. Business was lousy. He did a session with Jonathan and realized he didn't want to run a restaurant at all. Once he was clear, he let go of the restaurant and sold it. As a result, people started going to it under its new owner. Jonathan says, "Once you take care of the inner, it will show results in the outer." Cut through pain. Another time, Jonathan told me, "When you get the lessons, you don't need the experiences." As bizarre as all of that dialogue might seem to you, it's been the truth in my experience as well. One time, a company hired me to help promote one of their Dallas seminars. I advised them on what to do, and then I got angry when I saw that they did the opposite. They were, in essence, screwing up their own success. I talked to Jonathan about it. He asked me what I got out of this. In other words, what was the benefit to me? Assuming a part of me did create the company doing everything wrong, how would it serve me? I thought about it and had an answer. Their screw-up takes the pressure to succeed off of me, I explained. They hired me to help them make the seminar a success. I wasn't sure I could do it. By their not listening to me, they have almost guaranteed that the seminar will fail. When it does, I can point my fingers at them and say, "You did it, not me." It keeps coming back to what we are doing and feeling inside plays a giant hand in what we end up experiencing. No matter what the situation you are in, some part of you helped create it. Get in touch with it, release the old beliefs and energy, and you can move toward creating what would serve you better and bring you more joy. One of the best ways to do just that is to focus on what you want, on how it would feel to have it, be it, do it. In this way, you can begin to attract it to you. Write your future. One wonderful technique to help you in this area is called scripting. I first heard of this method from my longtime friends Jerry and Esther Hicks. The concept is deceptively simple. Just imagine that you already have what you want and write out a scene that describes it. Describe in such detail that you can feel it. Pretend you are a movie director and write a script for what you want to experience. Really get into it as you write it. Feel it, sense it, experience it. I have a notebook full of scripts. Every one I have written has come into reality. Again, when you think it and feel it, it comes to be. Why not take a few minutes and write your own script right now and right here? Just stop the recording, get some paper, and spend a little time writing out your future. Neville's advice may help you here. This is from his book, Immortal Man, and it works for both men and women. He says, "First, have a dream. And by a dream, I mean a daydream, a gloriously wonderful daydream. Then ask yourself, what would it be like if it were true that I am now the man I am dreaming I would like to be? What would it be like? Then catch the mood of the wish fulfilled and drench yourself with that feeling. Now, choose what you want to experience. Whatever it is, write up a description of it as if it already happened. Instead of writing, "I want a customer to call me with a big order," you write, "A brand new customer just called and ordered $5,000 from me. I feel fantastic. The call came a few minutes ago. I'm still smiling about it as the customer was a delight to work with. They even gave me their credit card and I'm running it right now." You get the idea. Pretend the day is done and you are recording the experience of what you want to have happen in your journal after it happened. Be detailed, be joyful, enjoy the process. Describe it the way you want it just after the fact. Go ahead, stop the recording, and do it right now. Why not? If you didn't write a script right now, why not? You create your next moments out of this moment. What you do right now is the energy you send out that attracts what you get later. That's the attractor factor, remember? When you write a script, being sure to do it with emotion, you create a powerful thought form or ball of energy that goes out into the world to make your script come true. This is too important to pass over. We are all connected on an energy level. In 1943, Lucius Humphrey wrote in his rare little book, On the Beam, "While we think of ourselves as individuals, we are not cut off from the whole. We are separate beings, but not separated beings." Because we are all connected on this behind-the-scenes energy level, we can put requests into the universe at large, and if we're not too attached to the outcome and we are open to receiving the outcome we requested, we will receive it or something better. The people involved in manifesting your request will feel your energy on an energy level. We're all connected, remember? They will be nudged by their own spirit within to help you achieve your goals. This is the spiritual formula for success that never fails. Guaranteed. This is the attractor factor. So again, stop the recording and write your script right now. You're printing your energy. It's worth mentioning right here that your business cards, letterhead, flyers, sales letters, and ads, everything you produce or hire someone to produce to market your business, all carry your energy in them. As a result, they will attract or repel the clients you say you want. Think back to some flyer or letter you received in your mail. As soon as you glanced at it, you felt one way or another about the service. You may have had an instant feeling that said, "This looks interesting," or an instant one that told you, "Trash this." I'm not just talking about the look of the marketing piece, although that is part of it. When you or anyone you hire creates a marketing document, they put their thoughts and feelings into what they create. People don't have to be psychic to pick up on this vibe. If you unconsciously don't believe in your product or service, that belief will appear in your marketing materials, and people will sense it, and you won't get business. Again, feeling attracts miracles. When you know what you want, are clear about having it, and can feel the energy of what you want, you will begin to attract or pull it to you. And when you clearly feel this energy, you will create marketing pieces that convey it. Here's an example of what I mean. When I wrote a sales letter for a software product that I totally believed in, I got staggering results. People read the letter and sensed my sincerity and the product's benefits. As a result, over 6% of them sent in checks. In the world of direct mail marketing, that is excellent. But when I wrote a sales letter to offer a service I did not believe in, I got nearly no replies. Why? The same writer created both letters. But my lack of belief in the second item was conveyed to people. They picked up on my vibe and just knew they had better not order. Another example is the flyer I received to attend a workshop in Seattle. All I saw was a dark photocopy of the original flyer. So I wasn't dazzled by bright colors or fancy type, clever copy, or incredible graphics. But something about the flyer said, "Sign up for this event." I did. When I spoke to others at the seminar, all of them said they had the same feeling. Many added, "I don't even know why I'm here. I saw the flyer and knew I was supposed to be here." Well, the people who put on the seminar were clear about what they wanted. That confidence appeared in their brochures, and the people came. Contrast that with a company I worked for at one time who wanted to put on a seminar about internet marketing. This company was after only profits. There was no caring in their business and no sincere desire to serve people. That attitude showed up in their brochures. When they put on their event, they expected over 200 people to attend. Only 20 people showed up. You can't fool the attractor factor. Advertising works. I've noticed that many people have a negative attitude toward advertising. I think that's a limiting view. An ad can help you market your business. It can become another voice working on your behalf. It can be spiritual, too. One day, I was having dinner with Jerry and Esther Hicks and a friend. We were talking about marketing in general and advertising in particular. My friend said, "You don't have to advertise." "Well, you don't have to," I said, "but you might want to. A good ad can increase your business." And Jerry Hicks said, "The last time we ran an ad in a magazine, we got so many replies we couldn't handle them all. I dropped the ad until we hired more staff." Esther added, "It doesn't matter what you put in the ad. People will sense who you are and what you are offering and make a decision from that feeling." Jerry and Esther have hired me to write their ads because they know I believe in their work. If I didn't believe in them, the ads I create for them would show it. And if they didn't believe in their work, the person they hired to create their ads would reveal that attitude. My friend Sandra Zimmer, who runs the Self-Expression Center in Houston, also knows the power of spiritually based advertising. Sandra consciously infuses her ads with her energy. She actually sits and meditates over her ad, sending her energy into the ad. As a result, her ads have a magnetic quality to them. She once told me that people hold on to her ads for as long as 7 years. I know I had seen Sandra's ads for many years before I finally met her in person. Although her ads didn't look different, they felt different. There was just something about her ads that made them memorable. That something was Sandra's own energy. Sandra once told me, "Advertising is important, but it's the energy you put in the ads that does the work. It's really the law of attraction at work." Again, who you are inside creates the results you get outside. Your inner attracts your outer. Even your marketing pieces carry your energy. Get clear, feel the energy of what you want to do, be, or have, and you will naturally go in the direction of attracting what you want.